You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Fighting for justice!
Fighting for justice!
Boy, that doesn't really sound like a rally that's a harbinger of where the future's going. But today, fast food strike across the nation in 50 cities, including Seattle. We'll talk to our old friend, Carlene Johnson, who you might remember from KVI days. She's currently with Como News Radio. See if she can join us and talk to us. But right now, let's get your phone calls. Earlier, I spoke with Dave Freiboth, the executive secretary, King County Labor Council, about the whole $15 an hour wage demand, and they say that they're in sympathy with the strike. Joe from Orting, we'll start with you. Go for it. Good to have you here on KVI.
Hey, John. My name's Joe. I drive a bus, and starting wage for my company is $14.25 an hour. Are these guys really saying that flipping burgers is tougher work than driving all over King County, transporting people with disabilities?
They would say you're being exploited and you should be getting much more money because you deserve it.
Well, I think it's a fair wage. Everyone that joined this company thought it was a fair wage. That's why we work here.
No,
it's definitely not for the pay or for the company or the passengers.
Joe, first of all, thanks for what you're doing because it is important work. I appreciate it. And thanks for joining me here on KVI. Yeah, no, I think that, you know, a guy I know who works at and Ivers, I won't tell you which one, but he had a white collar job. And he lost that job in the recession. And during the recovery, he had to take two fast food jobs to make ends meet, and its ends still did not meet, but he took a job at Ivers and he took a job at Domino's. And of course at Ivers, if you do good work, you move up quickly and they'll put you on a career ladder, and he's now in management. I think he now manages either the shift or the entire operation at the Ivers he works at. But I'm thinking, if you were to raise the minimum wage from $9 to $15 an hour, which would apply to, you know, Ivers, which is not a national, they're a local company, would those jobs still be available for guys like my friend? I don't know that they would still be available. My guess is you would have, in many cases, instead of three workers working a shift, maybe that you'd have two, or instead of six workers, you'd have four. So you would actually be pricing minimum wage workers out of a job that they could hold for $9, $10, or $11 an hour, but they wouldn't be able to hold for $15 an hour. Anyway, speaking of this fast food strike, Como News Radio's Carlene Johnson is covering it. If you go to my Facebook fan page, John Carlson Radio, you can see a picture of the strike. Again, that's John Carlson Radio. Let's go to Carlene Johnson. What's up down there at Westlake in downtown Seattle, Carlene?
Well, they're here now. An hour ago, they were protesting in front of the Starbucks around the corner of 4th and Seneca, but wasn't the Starbucks workers who walked out, John. The folks inside there I talked to said, we like our jobs, we're not walking off, but they pick Starbucks, of course, because it's big, big corporation, and to make their point. They're here at Westlake now, and they're going to move on from here to other locations today with, I guess, more folks joining throughout the day. John, I'd say right now there's probably 75 or 80 of these folks here in light rain, and their signs read Strike Poverty Raise Seattle, and as you've been mentioning, they want $15 an hour and the right to organize.
Well, do we even know that they're fast food workers?
I asked one of the guys I talked to, Liam Wright, who I think you played a soundbite from earlier. He actually works at a coffee shop up on Capitol Hill. I said, how much do you make? he said minimum wage. I said, well, you make a bunch of chips though, right? He said, yeah, but it's still not enough to make a living on. And he's young. I didn't ask him how old he was, but he looks like he's in his early 20s. And I followed up with a question asking him, well, what do you say to those who would, you know, argue these are not meant to be family wage jobs? These are, you know, positions that, that people work in when they're teenagers or putting themselves through school, temporary things between jobs. And he said, well, the reality is for millions of Americans now, these do end up being positions they hold potentially for decades and they need to make a living.
So he thinks he's going to be working at this coffee shop decades from now, and so therefore he wants a higher wage.
Well, I'm hoping to get him to come on the air with you, and you can ask him that. I would venture a guess, John, that based on his intelligence, he's an articulate young man, that he's not going to be bound in the position he's in now. He's just potentially caught up in this movement because he's a well-spoken kid.
Okay.
But at any rate, yeah, this is...
So they were in front of Starbucks. Now what are you in front of?
Now we're right in Westlake Center.
Near the Jimmy John's?
Where am I in front of? Right in front of Sephora. I'll go in here and buy me some makeup, a little skincare product later this morning. But what this is going to be going on all day. They're talking about, you know, 4 o'clock this afternoon, more rallies and throughout the day they're going to march. So you're going to have people kind of ebbing and flowing, different groups throughout the day.
Excellent. Thanks for joining me, Carlene.
You bet.
I really do appreciate. By the way, I got to ask you, what was your first job? Are you there? Oh, we lost her. Okay. You know, I'm asking, you know, Phil and Brittany and I were talking about this earlier in the show. What were our first jobs? And, you know, my first job, I picked strawberries on a farm near Squim in a little town called Agnew. I got up every morning and picked a flat or two of strawberries that the local farm would send to the local market. And I earned about 75 cents an hour, which at age 11, I thought was pretty good. And then I moved from there to a Seattle Times paper route, which I held for 2 years and, you know, got my gold card and, you know, enjoyed doing that. I guess I was being exploited by a massive newspaper publishing company. I just didn't feel I was. And then from there, having developed good work habits, I got a job in the West Seattle Junction at a butcher shop. And I made $2.25, big time money, $2.25 an hour. Cleaning up the butcher shop, disassembling the bandsaw, scraping the cutting boards, cleaning out the meat case, raking up the sawdust, all the pieces of meat, taking all the pans and washing all the dishes. And that was just, you know, I thought that was a huge deal. And then I ended up going to school. And let's see, I sold newspaper subscriptions for the Fishing and Hunting News. I jumped up from $2.25 an hour to $5 an hour. And it was commission. So it worked out to about $5.25 an hour. I mean, that's what you do. You jump from job to job. That's how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to just get a minimum wage job and say, okay, please give me a living wage now. You know, it's there are two Americas, but those two Americas are we shouldn't divide them among, you know, race or income. So much of the time, it's really about attitude. People who are looking to work their way up versus people who get a job and then say, okay, start providing for me. Start giving me stuff. Gary Puyallup, good to have you here. Go for it.
Morning, John. Three quick points. Back to your guest last hour. First of all, education, the unemployment rate among those who have a quality education is much lower, and the access to people who at minimum wage have access to better jobs through education. Two, the oil industry. Look what's happened in North Dakota. If Mr. Dave Breibold and his liberal buddies would get on the bandwagon and open up the oil fields of this country and the pipelines, there would be thousands and thousands of well-paying jobs for people looking for them. Three, his demonization of big business is so out of place. He thinks that the extra money is owed to the employees. It's owed to the stockholders. The stockholders are the ones who should expect the companies to make as much money as possible. And that's how people get wealthy, is through stock ownership.
Well,
Yeah,
but the other thing, Gary, is a lot of these big corporations, you see a Subway, you see a McDonald's, you see a Burger King, and you think, a massive corporate headquarters back east is running this little. No, it's not. It's a franchise. It's owned by someone who's risking their money to make this sandwich shop, this burger joint, work.
See, and that risk goes to every not just the franchise, which is a great example, but it's to every stockholder. And that the stockholders are mom-and-pop people like me who are putting the money in so that one day the wealth of that company will provide me with a retirement that I can enjoy.
All right. Yeah, your take on this, your explanation of how the economy works and the role of the worker in it, I think is exemplary. It's superb. Thanks for joining me, Gary. Appreciate it. It's coming up on 15 minutes after 7 o'clock. Real quickly, Annette in Seattle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, John?
Fine. Go for it.
We are about the same age. I have the same kind of job history that working up when I was in college. I got married, had kids. I am a single mom now, and I am work after having been out of the workforce. I am working four jobs to keep myself going, and sometimes it barely stretches, working $9.50 to $10 an hour. I have more experience than that. I'm worth more than that, but I'm grateful to be working at a job. While I'm sympathetic to the fact that minimum wage jobs should be paying more, the entitlement attitude needs to stop. 15 is too much, unless...
Oh, boy, we lost your call. You said 15 is too much. This is Annette is a single mom in Seattle with kids working, she says, four jobs to make ends meet. And she's sympathetic to those who are having a tough time making it, but she says 15 is a wage she knows is not sustainable by a company. It would just be a matter of time before they cut back hours or they cut back the job. All right, our sponsor this hour, the John Carlson Show, West Hill Construction, West Hill Design Build. Oh, by the way, we're going to talk to one of those striking workers here in just a second. We just got notice here a second ago. We're going to talk to one of the striking fast food workers in just a few moments here on the John Carlson Show.
You're among friends. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
The reality is, in this country, there are millions of people that work minimum wage jobs and sometimes work in them for decades. It's just not the way people's lives actually work.
All right. The voice you just heard belongs to young Liam Wright. He's out there demonstrating for $15 an hour. He's part of the fast food workers' strike that's going on in 50 cities across the country, including Seattle. Liam is a barista on Capitol Hill. We won't ask him the name of the establishment. He's protesting right now near Westlake Center, downtown Seattle. Liam, thanks for being here on the John Carlson Show this morning here on KVI.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. So are you a full-timer or part-timer?
I'm a part-timer.
All right. And what do you do? Are you a student or... Do you have a second job?
I'm also a student, but honestly, as far as the coffee industry goes, it's near impossible to have full-time hours. Oftentimes, shifts are 6 hours or less, so even if a coffee shop, say, offers health care to its full-time employees, no one actually gets up to that number. So.
Okay. Well, now, I'm tempted to ask you if you're going to blame Obamacare for that, because they're the one who set those hours.
No, this is a problem that's been going on for a lot longer than that. I think, there are millions of people in this country that are, that work fast food, retail, coffee, minimum wage jobs, and aren't making enough money to feed their families, to send their kids to school, to live a life worth living. This is not something just in this last year. There's never been a point in this country where there's not been millions of people that have been deeply exploited and oppressed. And
now,
people,
most minimum wage jobs are part-time jobs. They're for students who have a workload, with the school. They're for seniors who don't want a full-time job. They're for people who are supplementing their income by taking a job on the side.
I think that's a misnomer. I've personally met, even just in these last couple of weeks, people that have been working in fast food for 10, 20, even 30 years, and are trying to feed their families off these jobs. They're working full-time, they're even working two or three jobs. For some of us, we're lucky enough that they are just transitory jobs, but there's also millions of people that this is their life. This is going to be their job, and it's not good enough.
You believe there are millions of people working full-time minimum wage jobs for decades?
I think that there are millions of people that work minimum wage jobs. I think that there are many, many people that have been working these jobs for years, if not decades.
Okay. What do you think would happen if they raise the minimum wage $15 an hour?
Well, look, I'm not an economist. I don't want to speculate about, you know, what's going to happen to the economy. I'm talking about the real lives of people. And these companies are making billions off of people. I think that Starbucks or McDonald's can pay their employees a living wage.
Okay, now I know some guys who own McDonald's franchises. McDonald's doesn't own many of their restaurants; they franchise them. So, a business person, usually a man or woman in their 30s or 40s, they take a chance. They gamble their own money, nest egg they've saved up, to own and run a McDonald's franchise. They have to pay these costs. So if they so let's not look at this, you know, through the eyes of an economist. Let's look at it through the eyes of a small business person. If you're earning, and you're the last one to be paid when you own the small company, as you know. So if you have to raise your wages 50% from $9 to $15 an hour, then you've got to find ways to cut back elsewhere or to raise your prices. What do you do?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I would hope that, you know, people in Seattle, people around the U.S. or, you know, frankly, around the world, will be willing to pay an extra 5 cents on their burger or on their latte, so that way workers can make a living wage. That's one thing. Two, I think that, that's a very real phenomenon we're talking about, where people own franchises and they're small business owners. They're not necessarily, you know, corporate giants, but it should not be the workers who are struggling and put their whole lives on these jobs to tell the companies how they should be give them the money that they need. I think McDonald's or Starbucks or, you know, these companies can figure out with how to pay their workers living wage.
Well, I'll tell you what I think is likely to happen. And again, many of these stores are owned by small business people, not by corporate behemoths. They will probably cut back the hours of their existing employees. They will probably, instead of having 6 workers on a shift, say, you know what, we're going to have to do this one with 5. That's the real world fallout that you will probably see. And some small businesses, some small coffee shops that don't have the bargaining power on products that a big company like Starbucks has, they might go out of business.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about raising the minimum wage. We're talking about these companies paying their workers a living wage. So you were talking about the difference between these workplaces paying their workers living wage and what, you know, the raising the minimum wage would be a policy change at the level of government, right? So that's one thing, just for clarification. Two, I think that I would like to see come out of this, a workers' movement in this country where, you know, workers can not only, you know, fight for higher wages, but can also stop their bosses from cutting their hours. I mean, this already happens to workers every day. I mean, like,
Wait a minute. If you're not making money on a shift and you don't need an employee, why should you be forced to pay them?
I think that what we're dealing with here is these are people's lives. This is their livelihood, and I think, you know, I can't deal with, you know, I can't speak to every particular instance of how this is all going to work out. I think, you know, okay. and I feel like I don't have the expertise to do that, but I think right here we're talking about, you know, how can people stop suffering and being exploited.
I want to play an excerpt of remarks made by the actor-entrepreneur Ashton Kutcher and get your take on his attitude. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
When I was 13, I had my first job with my dad carrying shingles up to the roof. And then I got a job washing dishes at a restaurant. And then I got a job in a grocery store deli. And then I got a job in a factory sweeping Cheerio dust off the ground. And I've never had a job in my life that I was better than. I was always just lucky to have a job. And every job I had was a stepping stone to my next job. And I never quit my job until I had my next job. And so opportunities look a lot like work.
What do you think of what he just said?
Frankly, it's the other way around. In my view, if these companies are lucky to have their workers, I think that, you know, that on the one hand, like, jobs are scarce and people are not making enough. But I think that regardless of where people deserve to make enough to get by.
So, but you heard Ashton Kutcher say he wanted to get more money. He got another job.
But for many people, that's not an option. All they've ever done is service industry. Or let's say,
then they have experience to get another job in a service industry paying more.
You know, for many people, this is not an option. They've tried time and time again. I mean, I've personally talked with workers that have gone through this. This is not... No, this is not made up.
Liam, I'll give you the final word on that. I want to thank you for joining me here on KVI this morning.
A balanced approach? How about a balanced budget instead? Talk Radio 570 KVI.
It's the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. All right, one more voice we want to hear about today's fast food worker walkout. The national strike over $15 an hour minimum wage job being demanded by people who are currently in this state earning about $9.19 an hour. I want to talk to you about a guest named Kunal. Kunal is a listener. And he just got a $15 an hour job. He has a 4-year college degree. We'll hear his reaction to the demands that fast food workers in Seattle and across the country earn $15 an hour. Kunal, thanks for joining me here on KVI.
Sure,
how are you doing?
No problem.
All right.
Good, thanks. And yourself?
Great, great. All right, so your take on this strike today.
Okay, so I'm going to have to be really quick because I have to be at work in like about 5 minutes. But here's the thing. I do agree minimum wage should be raised. My thing, though, is $15 is too much. Reason being is because, like I told Phil the screener earlier, that I currently work at a small local bank here in the Seattle area. I'm getting paid $15 an hour, and that's with a bachelor's degree and years of work experience.
Does the job require a bachelor's degree, or do you just happen to have one?
The job does require a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
And so, and that's with years of work experience as well. So if they're demanding $15 an hour, should I not be demanding at least $40,000, $50,000 with a bachelor's degree? I mean, at least I should be getting paid a salary if I'm going to be, you know, if minimum wage is going to be raised. I mean, that's my question.
The answer is they would say, why, of course you should. And they should pay you because they've got the money.
Yeah, because if you look
which is
at
easy
it,
for them to say since it's not coming out of their pocket.
Even most bank teller jobs, most entry level professional jobs, and most companies, at least in the downtown Bellevue area, pay their employees anywhere between $12 to $15 an hour. So if they should kind of think about the fact that it's going to be a cause and effect, because then other people who are getting paid that $15 an hour are going to be like, hey, I have a bachelor's degree. Why isn't my boss paying me more than, you know, minimum wage? And people aren't going to want to work for minimum wage if it goes up to $15 an hour. They do have a bachelor's degree.
Yeah,
so that's kind of my thought process there.
If you and I appreciate the call, Kunal, and I hope all continues to get better for you.
Thank you.
I think what will happen if they raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour is that you would simply see employers start to cut back their hours, and they would simply have to do more with less, which is what a lot of companies have had to do. I mean, there are fewer people working here at what used to be Fisher Broadcasting. Now it's Sinclair Broadcasting Group. There are fewer people working at Fisher at all levels, in all departments except online, than were working here a few years ago. They had to do more with less. Most people had to take a salary or benefit cut. They had to do more with less. Now, everyone would love to have a raise, but they also understand that in order to make that happen, you have to increase your value to the company. You have to show them that you are worth that extra money, that it's worth it to them to pay you. If for no other reason, then someone else will pay you that wage. And that's what's missing from this fast food strike, is that they're saying, well, I'm working fast food and I really need the money, and so you should just pay me. And it just shows, you know, an abysmal lack of understanding about how the economy works. It's coming up here on 8:30, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI, Syria, up next.
The biggest names are on KVI. John Carlson.
It was our inaction that has made the world a dangerous place.
Laura Ingraham.
We have one big pre-existing condition in this country. It's called joblessness.
Glenn Beck.
Please, guys, let's have some common sense here.
Mark Levin.
We now have a new Cold War with Russia.
Lars Larson.
This is what Obama's projecting to the rest of the world. America's weak.
And Michael Savage.
You know what I'm talking about, you listening to the show.
Talk Radio 570 KVI.